Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. This is the conclusion of John's gospel. This is God's word. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The main point today is to know Jesus is to love, trust, and obey him. When you and I say that we know someone, it can mean a variety of things. I've met many people in my life. I've met some famous people. I've met some rich and powerful people. I've met all kinds of folks. If you say to me, "Do you know so-and-so?" Depends on what you mean. To know Jesus in a saving way is to love him. If you don't love Jesus, you don't know him. And you need to consider that, because knowing him is eternal life. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have life. Not real life, not abundant life, not eternal life. But if you know him, you love him. He is perfect love. I've got a wonderful wife. She is not perfect, which is fortunate because I'm not perfect either. And if she was perfect, that would mean that whenever there's a disagreement, she's always right. And that would mean that I'm always wrong. That would be unbearable. I gotta be right sometime. But when there's a disagreement between me and the Lord, he's always right. I'm always wrong. Because he's perfect. But I don't resent his perfection. I worship him. I adore him. I'm amazed by him. I'm thrilled by him. I love Jesus because I know him. Because I know him. And knowing him means that I trust him. Now, I don't always trust him perfectly. Sometimes I mess that up too. Sometimes I don't love him like I should. Sometimes I don't trust him like I should. But in my moments of sanity, I know he's right. Whatever he says is true. And because I know he loves me, I would be a fool not to do what he says. So I obey him. Not perfectly, not every day all the time. But I am growing in my walk with him.
Pastor Wood, it's a little late for that, isn't it? You're kind of old.
I'm really old. And I'm not finished growing. I'm still learning. I'm still being changed from the inside out by God's grace.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
But to know Jesus is to love, trust, and obey him. So I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Now, Look at this passage. Jesus had already appeared, already proved that he's alive. He did that the day that he was raised to life. He did it again a week later, he shows up. Now this is the third appearance that John tells us about. He appeared to them again by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. A bunch of the disciples, instigated by Simon Peter, decided to go fishing. Peter says, I'm going fishing. They said, we'll go with you. And so they went out and they got in the boat, and all night long, they're casting the net over the side, letting it go down, waiting, and then pulling it up, and they got nothing. Not they didn't get a good catch, or they didn't get very much, or they didn't get as much as they used to. They got nothing all night long. In the morning, they see a man on shore. They don't recognize him, but he calls out. I just love Jesus. He calls out and he says, friends, haven't you any fish? Now, how did he know that? Well, because he's Jesus. Well, not just that. If you've got him, my wife and I lived on Cape Cod for 5 years, just up the street from the fish pier. You could look from our home and see the ocean out there, and you could see the fish pier, and you could see the boats go in and out. And if a boat goes out, it's riding kind of high in the water. If it's got a good catch, when it comes back, it's down in the water. The water is higher up the sides of the boat. And so Jesus is looking at these guys, and he can tell they didn't catch anything. So he asked them, friends, haven't you any fish? That's the last thing a fisherman wants to hear, okay? Bad enough not to catch any. Really bad when somebody can stand on shore and tell, all right? This is embarrassing. No, they answered. They didn't elaborate. They're just like, no. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Now, it's got a familiar ring to it. Jesus has done this to them before. Well, they did it. And immediately, it is so full of fish, they can't pull it in. And John speaks up and he says, it is the Lord. And Peter, who's been out there in his underwear, now takes his robe and puts around him. It's a little hot over there, even on the Sea of Galilee. He puts his outer garment on and dives into the water. I always thought that was amusing. You know? I mean, normally, wouldn't you expect that if you're going to dive in the water, you take the outer garment off and swim to shore in the equivalent of swim trunks? But instead, Peter's anticipating being on the shore with Jesus, and he's putting on his outer garment and then diving in the water and going to shore. This is, why does that matter? It only matters in that it reminds us that these are real people and these are real events and this is an eyewitness account. This is not somebody's imagination about what might have happened. He's recounting for us exactly what occurred. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards offshore. Again, I love that detail. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Where did Jesus get the fish and the bread? He's been cooking breakfast for these guys. He knew they were going to meet up. He knew where they were going to be coming into shore. And he's already got fish. Now he tells them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Two things about that. Number one, Jesus doesn't need our contribution. He's already got fish and bread. But secondly, Jesus invites us to contribute. But what we contribute is what he just provided for us. Everything comes from God. That's why we pray before our meals and thank him for our food. It's not that we don't know how crops grow. It's that we know that God is the one who created the plants and causes things to grow. Everything we have comes from him. Please understand that about your life. You and I can't draw our next breath apart from God. We need to be thanking him all the time for everything. Thank the Lord for what he's done. So Simon Peter went out there and helped haul in the net and dragged it to the shore. And it was full of large fish. Jesus had given them a splendid catch, 153. The thing I like about that number is that it wasn't like there were a lot of fish. They actually counted them. This is, again, an eyewitness account from somebody who was right there on the scene, and he remembered how many fish it was. And they were large ones, too. Okay? I mean, this is history. This is not mythology. Even with so many, the net was not torn. They were amazed by that. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Now, why at that point might they have asked him? Because apparently Jesus at this point didn't look quite like the Jesus they were used to. But they knew it was Jesus. Well, does it say? No, it doesn't say. It just says that they didn't ask him who he was, because they knew. Did it say he showed them again the wounds in his hands? No, doesn't say that. But clearly, in several of the post-resurrection appearances, Road to Emmaus, for example, people didn't recognize Jesus until their eyes were opened. And you and I need to realize that sometimes when Jesus comes on the scene in our lives in various ways, we may not realize right off what's going on. But the problem is not his presence, it's our perception. We need our eyes opened. We need to recognize that quickening in the heart that John experienced in the boat when he said, "It is the Lord." So, Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time he'd appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Then, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" There are different words used for love in the Greek language. And Jesus used two different words here in these three questions. And some people have made much over the fact that those two different words are used here. I don't speculate as much about that. And the reason is because Jesus generally spoke to them in Aramaic, not in Greek. Doesn't mean he couldn't have been speaking Greek here. It means that the scriptures show us in the Gospels that what we're getting with the words of Jesus are generally a Greek translation in order to reach as many people as possible with the message, but that when Jesus spoke, he often spoke in Aramaic. What is clear from this God-breathed, holy, inspired word is that Peter got his feelings hurt because Jesus asked three times, "Do you love me?" And the fact that it was three times was not lost on Peter. And it wasn't lost on the others. And it shouldn't be lost on us. Was Jesus rubbing Peter's nose in the fact that he had denied him three times? No, he was giving Peter the opportunity to undo what he had done. Three times he denied the Lord. Now Jesus is giving him the opportunity three times to affirm that he knows the Lord, that he loves the Lord, that he trusts the Lord, and that he wants to obey the Lord. And so, Jesus, when he first called Peter, said, to a fisherman who was dealing with his nets, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Jesus did that. They followed him, and Jesus made them fishers of men, people who brought in people. Now, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is saying, "Peter, I want you to take up my line of work. I want you to shepherd and care for my sheep." That's a switch in metaphor. I mean, if you're a fisher, what did Peter say? "I'm going to go fishing." And the others said, "We'll go too." And now Jesus is saying, "Your fishing days are done. You're a shepherd now. You need to take care of my sheep. You need to take care of my lambs." And so he's changing Peter's focus, because Peter is going to need to be like Jesus in caring for those who come to faith. Not just preaching good news and reaping a harvest of souls, but he's going to be shepherding people who follow Jesus. After the third questioning and Peter's third answer, when Peter said, "Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you," Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then he said something else. "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Well, that could sound just like a picture of old age, but it's not. How do you know? Because the text tells us. Verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." And here they started walking. So Jesus says, after this discussion, which was public with the other disciples, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." And they start walking along the shore. And John starts following too. Okay, so Jesus and Peter are walking together and John's tagging along. And Jesus has just told Peter about his future and the fact that he's going to die a martyr's death. He was crucified upside down, because when they went to crucify him, he said, "I'm not worthy to die in the same way that my Lord did." Now, Peter asked him a question that many of us are tempted to ask. And that is, what about him? Okay? Do you ever know what God has told you, but you want to know if that applies to everybody? Okay? How come he doesn't have to do that? Why didn't you say that to him? What about this person? God, what are you going to do about that? Lord, you told me to do this and they're not doing it. Why do I have to do it? Do they have to do it too? Should I tell them? What about him? Peter asks. Jesus said, "What's it to you? I'm telling you what's in store for you. You don't worry about him. If I want him to live until I return, what is that to you?" And John says, because of this, a rumor got started that he was never going to die. He says, but that's not what Jesus said. Now again, I love the fact that he points that out. Notice verse 23. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, and he repeats it, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" One of the things that tells us is that the words of Jesus were guarded by the believers. Okay? When it says in the New Testament that Jesus said something, guess what? That's what he said. It wasn't kind of like that. Well, I don't know exactly what he said, but it was sort of like, no. We have the word of God. This is what he said. And so John concludes by saying, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true." You and I need to know that this testimony is true. This is the word of God. Jesus really did rise from the dead and was seen by his followers. And trusting in him means that we will love him and will obey him. And we have eternal life. John's final statement, the world couldn't contain all the books that would have to be written in order to record all the things that Jesus did. There were so many miracles, and that's one reason I love the book of Acts, is because right after the four Gospels, the next book is telling us about the things that Jesus continued to do. The book is known as the Acts of the Apostles, and that book is the Acts of God, who worked through the apostles and other Christians. God is still at work today. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. He is alive, and he's still changing lives.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.